Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to be out among the living today, isn't it? But better yet, it's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to have someone on your side that you know that each and every time that you feel bad, feel blue, have a problem, you can go to him. Isn't it wonderful to have someone like that? You know, Cindy was stating that we went to some Rivals meetings this week, and you know, certainly God is still in the saving business. He's still in the business of helping his children. He's still in the business of doing what is right. And you know, I cannot expound enough on what he has done for me and in my life, because without him, I wouldn't be here today. I just honestly tell you that I wouldn't be here today. But you know, I had a praying mother and father that helped me along the way. It kept me out of the beer joints, kept me out of the pool halls, kept me out of places that I really shouldn't have been. But each and every day, I look back and I thank them for what they did for me. And you know, it's wonderful to have parents that you can stand and brag on and know what they have done for you was right. But you know, Jesus loves his children. He loves his people, and he'll do anything for them. As a matter of fact, he died for them. He went to the tree for you and me. And I can't thank him enough for that. Because of that, I have an eternal home with him. Amen. We're going to be studying today about a king. And that king had two dreams. And he couldn't understand what those dreams meant. He went to his magicians, and the ones that stood by him to try to interpret those dreams, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit, but they couldn't do it, so he went to a little Hebrew boy. Well, he wasn't little. He started out in Egypt at about 17 years old, and he ended up in this, we'll be studying today, he's about 30, but in our lesson today, we're going to be, I think it just sort of kind of picks up 12 verses out of Genesis 41 and places them aside. I'm going to have a lead up to that and kind of set the stage a little bit better for us in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's go to word and prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we say thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house among your people. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us and have done for us, what you're going to do today, tomorrow, and yesterday. We can't thank you enough. We appreciate the ones that come this way. Put your mighty hand upon them and the homes that are represented. Be with the ones that could not be with us today, Lord, for you know the reasons why. Guide, guard, and direct us and keep us safe and put your mighty hand upon the service. May be something said or led in the service that will be pleasing to you. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. The characters today that we're going to be looking at in chapter 41 is Joseph. He was Jacob's son through Rachel. And we're going to be talking about a Pharaoh who was the king of Egypt. And we're going to talk about his chief cupbearers. And we're going to talk about his chief bakers. And like I say, he was about 17 years of age when he started in Egypt, Joseph was. And but he ended up, like I say, where we're studying, he'd be about 30 years of age. And we're going to get into it, and we're going to talk about the dreams that Pharaoh had. And like I said before, he could not understand what those dreams were, but I'm going to back up just a little bit in chapter 41, and I'm going to read just a little bit to bring us up to where our lesson is today. It says, Joseph remembered, "This spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put in a word of the captain of the guardhouse, both me and the chief baker. There were two people that were in prison at that time, and that was his baker and his cupbearer, which is actually his butler. And then come along Joseph. Joseph was in there also. And we dreamed a dream one night, and they're talking, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to his own interpretation of his dream. There was a young man, a Hebrew servant, a captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams to each man according to his dream did he interpret." These two people, pardon me? 41. 41, I'm on chapter on 41, verse 12.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we had two people in prison. They had dreams. Again, the butler and the baker. They had dreams. And Joseph was able to interpret those dreams while they were there. And when Pharaoh found this out, he had dreams that he couldn't understand. Nobody could to talk to him about it. That frustrated him. But you got to understand that back in the day when people had dreams, then they looked at those dreams as being talked to by God. And they were very serious about knowing what those dreams meant. And it frustrated Pharaoh that he couldn't understand what they were, and nobody else could understand them either. But these two people that were in prison came to Pharaoh and said, "We had dreams ourselves, and this Hebrew boy knew what we were talking about, knew what they meant." "Well, okay, bring him to me. I want to see." So we get into that. Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent down and called out for Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon which he was in, and shaved himself and changed his raiment and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And here's the key. "And Joseph answered Pharaoh and saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It is not what I can do. It's what God can do through me." And this is what we want to look at today. It's not me. I'm just dirt walking around, dust blowing in the wind, Kansas used to say. Just dust blowing in the wind. But what God can do through me. What's he can do and what he can do through you. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of a river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed, well-favored, and they fed in the meadow kind, cows." This is his dream. "And behold, seven other kind came up after them." This is the first dream. "Poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind." Now, what he is seeing here is seven good cows, and they were ate up by the ill, by lots of good-looking cows. They ate them up. But still, after they ate them up, they weren't any better off. They weren't any better off. Now, there's a bottom, there's a key to this here, and I'll show you just a second. And it says when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. It didn't make any difference. They weren't any better for it. But they were still ill-favored, as I said, in the beginning. So he woke up. He woke up. That was his first dream. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears that came in one stalk full of good. We're talking about corn now. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, and sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I was told unto the magicians that there was none that could declare it to me. They were blasted in the east wind, and that had sprung up after them. In other words, the good ears were eaten up, and it didn't make any difference, but they were blasted away anyway. Okay, so what we're going to get into here is we've got two dreams, one about cows, one about corn. There's a purpose for this. And that purpose is, after Joseph interpreted the dreams, that there's going to be a famine come to Egypt. And we're going to get into that in just a second here. We're going to have a famine, but first we're going to have a 7 years of abundance that comes beforehand. And God is trying to tell Pharaoh through dreams of what's about to happen. But he didn't understand it, so he goes and gets Joseph. Joseph comes and he interprets it to Pharaoh. In Genesis 41:25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. He is telling Pharaoh that good times are coming. Good times are coming. 7 years of it. That's what the good cows were meant for. That's what the good corn was meant for. Good times. But then following that, there's going to be 7 years of famine throughout the land of Egypt. But here we are seeing that where Joseph has explained to the Egyptian ruler that the two separate dreams that he is having are one. It means the same thing. It's the same message from God. It's not two. In 26, the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dream is only one. What happens to us today? When God looks at us and gives us an opportunity, he's given us an opportunity today, while things are good, today, to be prepared for what is to come later. He's telling us that we need to get on the right track, get ourselves saved, get ourselves ready, because one day, deathbeds are coming. Deathbeds are coming. This is in the paper the other day. The scientists proved that 10 out of 10 people are going to die. That's a joke. They will. And when they do, where is your eternity going to be at? Where is our eternity? Is it going to be in heaven? Is it going to be in hell? It's all up to us. God's not going to make that decision for you, but he's going to give you the opportunity to do the right thing. Will you do the right thing? Have you done the right thing? The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven years are 7 years, and the dream is one. It clarifies the meaning of Pharaoh's dream, stating that the seven good cows and the seven good heads of grain both symbolize 7 years of abundance and prosperity for the land of Egypt. The verse emphasizes a unified message that two parts of a dream established in a clear sequence of events that God revealed to Pharaoh to ensure the nation could prepare itself while during a famine. He's telling him what to do. But like I say, he's only explained it to him. In verse 41:27, and the seven thin and ill-favored kind came up after them that are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind, as we just read, should be 7 years of famine. It's an explanation of Pharaoh's dream given by Joseph, stating that the seven lean and ugly cows and the seven blighted ears of grain represented 7 years of severe famine that will follow 7 years, that would be followed by seven years of abundance. So they had a lot to look forward to, but Jesus was trying to say, hey, you know, this is what God is doing, and it's going to come to pass, because it's not through him or by him only, it's through God that's telling him what to tell Pharaoh. This is one thing I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. It states that with confidence, the affirmation to Pharaoh's dreams is given divinely in foretelling 7 years of abundant prosperity in Egypt, immediately followed by 7 years of severe famine. Here's what we're getting into today. God is trying to tell us to get prepared. And he's trying to tell, through Joseph, to tell Pharaoh to do the same thing. He's trying to tell him that the two dreams are, you know, are actually one, meaning one thing, is what he's trying to say. Yes?
Excuse me.
Go right ahead.
It says that the old men will dream dreams.
Mm-hmm. And young men will see visions.
Yeah. And it came to pass at Pentecost. Yeah. What about that? Is it still go for now?
Mm-hmm. Go for now, yeah. It still works the same way.
But you don't hear any more of young people saying, well, I had a vision. We've got the Bible to tell us.
We have the Word.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have something to fall back on. Yeah.
It's got to be supported by the spoken, inspired Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days, or these last days, spoken unto us by his son, or by the word, you can reference John 1:14, whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Right.
So it's through Christ and his word that he speaks to us.
Right.
No other way.
That's right. That's true. In 29, behold, there come out 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. This verse tells Joseph that he's talking to Pharaoh, that describing the coming 7 years of great abundance in Egypt, which are followed by 7 years of famine, and the prophecy from God of what reveals he is about to do. He's about to tell him what he's going to do here. 4:30, it says, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Are you going to see that the land is talked about four times in three verses? And why is it more looked at than actually the starvation of the people? If you go back, when Adam and Eve committed their sin in the Garden of Eden, they tainted the land. And God had to destroy the land And he did that through flood because of the wickedness that was setting in on the land. And he said, I'll never destroy the land again by water. It'll be far next time. So you'll see this talked about four times in these next three verses. The verse is telling that there will be a devastating impact. The famine will be so severe that it will devastate the land and cause a great abundance of previous years to be forgotten. The previous years after the famine sets in is going to be forgot about because there is nothing there anymore. There'll be nothing there after the 7 years. You wished you had what you had then, in other words. Yeah.
Sometimes in life when we have troubles and trials, we forget.
Yeah.
We focus on the bad.
Right.
And I thought that's jumped out at me that, you know, bad times come, we forget all the good times we've had.
Exactly.
Patty, you're right in my head.
Oh, okay.
So, to get us through the bad times, what should we do? Remember what we have. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. If we constantly are consumed up by negativity, the negativity is what we're going to be putting out. And we've had it too good. We've had it real good. And, you know, as was mentioned, you know, there was in the last several years, you know, we've got cushy. We really have. Got cushy. All right. 41:31. Got to hurry. Got 10 minutes. And the plenty shall not be known by the land by the reason of the famine following, and it shall be grievous. They'll wish to have back what they had. And for the dream that was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. 31, Joseph is placing emphasis on the land, and he repeated it four times in three verses. As I said, we would expect him to emphasize the danger of starvation to the people, but instead he emphasizes the land. Why? Because the abundance of the land will not be remembered. It will not be remembered. It was a divine provision, a period of prosperity that was meant to prepare Egypt for difficult times ahead. Sometimes we tend to forget the abundance we are given when trying to overcome present hardships. Count your blessings. Focus on God, because God is where everything good comes from. Focus on Him and what He has done for you and what He's about to do for you. In 32, here we are seeing Joseph as an interpreter who understands God's unwavering plan to bring the coming abundance of famine to reality. This verse serves at a pivotal moment where God's purpose for Egypt and future generations are revealed. He underscores the importance of the divine warnings. Take it seriously. Pharaoh was trying to take it serious, but he didn't understand what he was getting into, what his dreams was. He had to find. He was desperate. He would find somebody to tell him what his dreams were. And just as he found out that Joseph was available, he sought him. He went and got him. And even though he was in prison, now you're going to find out later in 41. That Joseph actually went to second in command of Egypt because of what he told. Because he was looking for someone that could take over and actually run the country and make sure that they had enough food available. And when he did, when Joseph showed that he could do that, that he put him in second command over Egypt. Go ahead.
One
Yeah.
And the Pharaoh says, I'm told you can interpret dreams. He said, Joseph says, I'm not God.
Yeah.
I can't interpret dreams, but God interprets your dreams
through him.
He gives credit where credit is due.
Right. Yeah. Well, he didn't do what a lot of us do and take credit ourselves. And he gave God the credit where it should be. And that's what he did. Go ahead, Cindy. You had something to say?
I was going to say, Pharaoh told him that there was only one above him in command, and that was Pharaoh himself, that Joseph was second to Pharaoh.
Yes. Okay, let's move along. Now therefore, let Pharaoh in 33, look out a man discreet and wise and put him over the land of Egypt, as we just said. Here we are seeing where Joseph is recommending to Pharaoh and to appoint a good wise man or leader to oversee Egypt and to gather store 1/5 of the produce during the coming 7 years of famine. In 34, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up 1/5 part of the land into Egypt and in the 7 plenteous years. This passage is significant because it highlights Joseph's God-given wisdom and discernment that the principal preparation for future crises and the importance of God's plan was essential. When God talks, listen.
Amen.
When God talks, listen. And he was telling them something that's going to happen. And he's telling us today something's going to happen. And we have to take him serious. Because, like I said, that's entirely up to us where we go. We are a free moral agent. We are a free moral agent, and we have that opportunity to do whatever we want to do. Now, the guidance that we're given, are we going to listen to it, or are we just going to let it fly away? But here, you see, Pharaoh was desperate, and he was interested. In 35, let them gather all the food of all the goods of the years to come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. It outlines Joseph's plan and advice to Pharaoh to gather and store 1/5 of the produce during 7 years of abundance to prepare for the 7 years of famine, representing mass starvation and ensuring the nation's survival, preventing the mass starvation. Here we're talking, getting back to the people again, and preventing the mass starvation that would soon be on their heads, and they didn't want that. Now, when we say put away, we put away, as Greg said earlier, we put away for a time that's not, put away for a rainy day. Just put it point blank, put a ring for any day. And the amount that we store up will make those rainy days a lot brighter. But the thing of it is, right here, they had to have at least 1/5 of the produce that was produced in Egypt that year to sustain them through the bad times. And this is what Joseph presented to Pharaoh. And the food that shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through famine. It explains the purpose of storing the food, ensuring that the food and the land and Egypt would not be destroyed during the coming famine. The foresight following Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams kept the land of Egypt secure. He put a lot of faith and old Joseph. You know, he come a long way. He was, like I say, the baker, or the cupbearer, rather, they hung him. After they got out of prison, they hung him. Now, the baker got, he got to go back. But now, do you not think that old Joseph was standing on nervous knees when he presented his story to Pharaoh? He wanted to make sure that that story was right, didn't he? He didn't want to get hung, but they did. And this is something that was foretold to begin with anyway, and it happened. But again, through God's grace and through God's mercy, he has made a plan for you and I today. Don't just sit on the good times and say, hey, we're having a great time today. The heck with tomorrow. Because tomorrow may not be so good. And I've seen it through the years. It's up one day and down the next. One year and down the next, you know. I've seen it. But here Egypt is really seeing it. And they're going to be suffering through it. They don't have an opportunity to get out of it because they're going to be stuck in it for 7 years. 7 years. That's a long time to be without food. An ability to have food, to grow food for your own, and take care of yourself. But you're going to find out that Joseph, like I say, over the years, was appointed right underneath Pharaoh. And he took care of the land. He took care of what he did what he had to do. He not only took care of the people, he took care of his family. Everybody that come that was hungry came to Joseph, and because they had no place to go to. But it's it's a good lesson, and it's a lesson we should take to heart. Like I say, I think they just picked 12 up without in the chapter, but the leading up to that, you can see where it come from and why it was there. And but always remember one thing: God will always be there for you if you're looking for him.